Jesus Christ. Amen. We just sang a prayer. That last verse, may I daily sing your praise, from my heart glad anthems raise. May God do that now through me to you and all of us to our Lord this day. The text for our message is our Old Testament reading for Samuel chapter 3. In verse 10, we hear this. And Yahweh came and stood, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. And then in verse 19, and Samuel grew, and Yahweh was with him, and did not allow one of Yahweh's words to fall to the ground. This is our text. This young man who became a great man, the prophet Samuel, he was one of God's great ones. 400 years after Moses led God's people to the promised land, Yahweh called Samuel to anoint Saul and then to anoint David as the first two kings of Israel. And yet already from the time of his birth, we learn that Samuel was a gift from God. Yahweh opened his mother's previously barren womb so that she could give birth to this young man. And then at the age of 3, his grateful mother Hannah gave Samuel back to God to be raised as a servant in Yahweh's house. And so he grew up with the priest Eli, serving at the tabernacle. When I was in Sunday school as a young child, for a period even having my mother as my Sunday school teacher, I remember loving this story. I remember seeing pictures like the one we have on the front of our bulletin of this story. At the time of our text, Samuel is 12 or so, helping Eli, who is about 80 and nearly blind. And then one day, aha, an epiphany. Samuel clearly hears Yahweh calling to him by name. I'm sure any one of us here would love to hear the Lord's voice calling out our name, right? It's a great story of trust. Samuel shows himself to be the obedient son, if you will, that Eli's biological sons were not. His bond with Eli is one not of bloodline, but of a shared faith, a shared service to Yahweh. But what I love even more in this story is God's clear call to Samuel to speak God's word, no matter how difficult or joyful it may be. It's common that people speak of their life's work as their calling. The Latin-rooted term for that is vocation. And that is how we often refer to our life's purpose as God's believers here in His church. Your vocation, my vocation, is what gives us definite direction. It's not something that you can just purchase by paying tuition and going to school. Nor can your vocation be pushed upon you by other people, like parents or teachers, as much as they want to think they can do so. But just as it was with Samuel, it is God who calls you and me to our vocations, our callings in life. I remember when Jesus opened my ears to finally hear Him nudging me to this vocation as one of His pastors. I wasn't listening at first. In fact, numerous people in the church suggested or asked, hey, have you ever considered being a pastor? To one of them, the vicar at our congregation, I even said, I will never be a pastor. Yes, I was more dense than Samuel. took a lot more than four times before I finally came to trust God. Go back to college for my undergraduate degree and then to seminary for my master's degree. And then almost 28 years ago now, God put it on paper, issuing a divine call to me into the public ministry of His church, granting me the undeserved joy, the privilege to serve Him and His people in what I now believe is one of the greatest vocations on earth. But hear me well, dear Christians. I said one of the greatest vocations, not the greatest vocation on earth. For God has blessed every one of us here this morning with the joy-filled privilege of receiving His call into the greatest vocation ever. Yes, God does call to us all. Which begs the questions, how and from where does He issue that call? And what is the call? What is your God-given vocation? May the Lord open our ears to listen, to hear, and to respond according to His purpose and His calling today. So the first question is this: where will the Lord call to us? Answer? Wherever He pleases. I mean, He could call to us in some place crowded with unbelievers. Abraham, considered to be the father of all the faithful, was with the moon worshipers in Syria when God called him. Or God could call us in some deserted wasteland. Moses was alone shepherding his flock at Mount Sinai when God called him. And in today's gospel reading, Nathanael had been sitting under a fig tree when he heard the Lord's voice. He's God. He calls His people wherever and whenever He knows best. But you see, He has blessed you and me with a more specific answer than that in most instances. So where has the Lord promised to call to us? Same as with Samuel. The Lord has promised to call us in His holy house. Verse 1. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to Yahweh under Eli. Samuel was right there at the tabernacle, Yahweh's worship home at that time in history. And the word of Yahweh was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Does that mean God had nothing to say? Or was it that He was getting set to open the ears of a new servant? Verse 2, at that time Eli was, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. This elderly priest's body was wearing out. And it was negatively impacting not only his duties in the Lord's house, but also in his family household. The previous chapter tells how Eli was putting his sons Hophni and Phinehas before the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 12 says that they were, quote, worthless men, unquote. Because as priests, they were actually stealing the people's offerings to God through threats of violence and keeping it for themselves. And on top of that, they were laying with women who were serving at the tabernacle's entrance, both of which were strictly forbidden by God. Yet all that Eli did was scold his sons for their sins, which they only scoffed at and then continued as before. And now we're told that Eli, quote, was lying down in his own place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. But Samuel was lying down in the temple of Yahweh, where the ark of God was. Now, the lamp of God in the holy place in the tabernacle was a lamp that was never allowed to go out, because it represented God's constant presence on the opposite side of the curtain in the most holy place, where God's earthly throne was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Because Eli couldn't see, it seems that Samuel had been tasked with keeping the lamp filled with oil while Eli slept nearby. Three times Yahweh calls out, "Samuel!" And three times Samuel believes that it is Eli calling to him. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh had not been revealed to him. Had Eli become so disconnected from God that he actually had not taught Samuel about God's call to his people? Was Eli only teaching Samuel about Moses, perhaps, about the law, and not Yahweh? We don't know. But finally, Eli wakes up to what is going on. In all of his 40 years as high priest, Eli only heard the voice of Yahweh once. Yet God had promised his people to be right where Samuel was at, in his house, in the tabernacle. And where does God promise to speak to you and me today? Where his people are gathered for worship as well, in his holy house. Jesus promises in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." So after the third time, Eli tells the boy, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Yahweh, for your servant hears.'" And so Samuel went and laid down in his place. Is that your expectation when you come here into the Lord's house of worship? Is that your prayer today? "Oh Lord, you have gathered us here in your name. Now open our ears to hear you speak, to listen intently to your words and your calling to and for us." And so Samuel goes back to lie down in Yahweh's worship home, eager, ready for the Lord's word. Now, is that the only place that God can call to us? No. He called Abraham in a vision. He called to Moses from a burning bush. And he called Nathanael in the flesh as Jesus came from Nazareth. He can do it however he deems is best. But again, he has given us a specific method, a how, that we can count on. God has told us where to listen, how he has promised to call. Just as Samuel, God has promised to call to us in his own person. In fact, verse 10 is one of the most amazing parts of this text, I believe. This time it wasn't only Yahweh's voice, was it? It says, "Yahweh came and stood, calling as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.'" Did you catch it? Yahweh came and stood. Now, first of all, Yahweh's presence was normally expected to be on the other side of the curtain, in the most holy place, where only the high priest was allowed to enter on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And second, Yahweh had not taken on the promised human flesh of the Messiah, who was to be born from a virgin. So here we see that God moved toward Samuel because God knew that Samuel could not come to him in his sinful state. So was this an out of the ordinary, miraculous appearance of God in the flesh? Could be, but we don't know. But what we do know is it certainly is pointing us forward to what we just celebrated at Christmas. When, as John 1:14 literally says in the Greek, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 gives us this certainty now today that God speaks to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So just as real as Yahweh stood before Samuel that night, so He stands with us here today in Jesus, who is Yahweh in human flesh. And He has called you by name, just as we talked about that we all would love to have happen. He has called you by name in His house. As He said your name through the voice of your pastor and then called out, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you want to be able to see and touch Him physically? Well, here He is, the true body and blood of Jesus in His Holy Supper, where we see and touch and taste our God's absolute and full forgiveness of sin. This is where He physically feeds and strengthens us to go forward from His house and then to serve Him as He has called us to do. And you have already heard with your ears God's voice speaking directly to you in the epistle, in the gospel readings earlier, and as He speaks to you right now from His holy word in this text from 1 Samuel. So friends, if you don't hear God calling to you, it is not because He's not speaking. His voice is literally an open book. If you and I don't hear the Lord call to us, we are the ones who have stopped listening, who have gone deaf to His word. That's why we keep coming to worship every week. That's why we set aside time for private and family devotions. That's why we gather for Bible study with fellow believers to hear God's call to us. So, what is it then that He calls us to do? What is that joy-filled privilege and call into the greatest vocation ever that I said earlier God has given to each one of us here? Again, God can specifically call you into whatever He wants. At age 75, He called Abraham to move to the other side of his world and become the father of nations at age 99. He called Moses after 40 years in the wilderness to lead His people out of slavery in Egypt to wander 40 more years to the promised land. And God will call us to do whatever He knows is best. But now in Jesus, and because of Jesus, and His saving work upon the cross, and His victorious and His victory over death, sin, and the devil on Easter, He has called every one of you and me into the greatest vocation ever. To be a Christian. Yeah, you got the heads up in the children's sermon. To be His beloved, blood-bought child from sin, death, and the devil, to be His eager and faithful hearer of His word, just as He did with Samuel. And that's not all. in your vocation as Christian, just as he did with Samuel, God comes to you and me and he calls us to speak for him. Yahweh called Samuel to speak a hard word that convicted Eli and his sons of their years of disobedience and their refusal to hear his word. And we don't know about Eli's sons, but verse 18 shows Eli's response of faith. He said, "It is Yahweh. Let him do what seems good to him." Sometimes the Lord does call you and me to speak in the same way. In fact, we do our friends no favor when or if we leave them wallowing in the deadly quicksand of sin. But when we proclaim both his truth and his love, God gives us the joy of then connecting them to the lifeline of Jesus for their forgiveness, for their rescue, for their eternal life. This vocation God has given us, speaking his word, it comes with God's great power and promise. In verse 19, we're told that, quote, "Samuel grew and Yahweh was with him and did not allow one of Yahweh's words to fall to the ground," unquote. And so in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, Yahweh promises you and me today, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth," in other words, through us. "It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." You see, it's ultimately God's vocation that he gives us. It's his power. It's his purpose. It's his work and his word. You and I, we listen first to him, and then we speak his word. And he does the rest. And we get to watch it all in the greatest vocation ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.